What's going on, guys? Chris with the Libertarian Perspective. And today I want to talk about input pricing, the supply chain, and everything that has to do with price hikes in general that has absolutely nothing to do or is not tied to this thing that everybody thinks is attached to supply chains, which is inflation. You're going to hear me talk about inflation a lot, and I am going to reinforce the fact that inflation, the textbook definition of inflation in terms of, in economic terms, means that there is a loss in purchasing power due to inflating the amount of currency in circulation, period. End of fucking story. Stop creating your own little fucking made up versions of what inflation is. Stop fucking listening to the fucking people on television, telling you that, oh, inflation is being caused by the supply chain. Absolutely not. Because that's literally mixing up two separate things. We have price increases that are not a part of inflation, or there is no inflation in that equation when it comes to that part of the price hike. Anybody who's ever owned a business in the history of the world, in particular restaurants, know this more than anybody else. There are literally thousands upon thousands of variable inputs that go into pricing a product or service. It's not just the value of the dollar. It's the cost at which it costs you to produce, to first get raw materials, then produce the product, and then take it to market. So I want to talk in terms of restaurants because they're the most simplistic industry that I know of to go over how pricing works, because there's actually a pretty damn good formula for how restaurants come about in terms of pricing their products that they deliver. Now, if you've owned a restaurant, you know that there's probably three big operational input variables. The biggest one is labor. Actually, right now, it might not be labor, believe it or not. Number two is raw material costs delivered to you. So that's your cases of chicken, your cases of beef, your cases of fucking lettuce, and every other ingredient that you order from a distribution company. And then you have all your other fixed operational costs like building, maintenance, utilities, and things of that nature. So labor, raw material delivered, and fixed operational costs. Those are the biggest ones. But I want to break down the one that's actually supply chain related, which is the raw food being delivered to the restaurant. That is actually a massive variable cost. And you go, well, how is that, Chris? Because unless you're a massive conglomerate who literally creates volume orders at the beginning of the year, like they guarantee they're going to order at least 50,000 pounds of chicken or, 200,000 pounds of chicken. If you're not at that level, if you're not prepaying or pre-ordering at least that much at the beginning of a year, you are subject to distribution pricing. What does that mean? That means that literally every single week you make an order, the price of raw materials can and in fact do change. This is something that is incredibly difficult to forecast because as a restaurant, you can't just constantly be changing your menu pricing items. You can when it comes to your specials, but when it comes to your fixed menu, you have to somehow figure out how am I going to account for all the input costs and specifically the variable input costs and create a price structure per item that makes sense to not only you as a business owner, but also is in line with what the consumer feels is a good enough value to come in and purchase. Now, let's just break down this distribution. So number one, if you order from a distribution company, anytime gas prices go up above a certain amount, guess what that distribution company does? They turn around and they, boom, throw a fuel surcharge on every single order that you make. Boom, fuel surcharge. Boom, fuel surcharge. And guess what? When the price of gas drops, all they do is drop the fuel charge, the fuel surcharge. Sorry, haven't drank all my coffee this morning. I'm kind of, my mind is racing on this topic. So you have the fuel surcharge, but guess what? When that distribution company buys chicken from whoever, they turn around, they have their own input costs on how much a case of chicken costs. Then they have to compute how much it's going to cost them plus profit to get the chicken from the source to the restaurant. And then they have to account for any volatility in the poultry market. And then they have to build that into the price that they charge the restaurant. Well, the restaurant, they're not going to go without chicken, right? So if the price of chicken is up 72% on the restaurant side, the restaurant can't eat a 72% increase. And yes, that's how, God, I think beef is up almost 120% for restaurants. Like, the numbers are getting outrageous on the distribution side. But guess what? It's costing more all along the way. Guess what? Whoever is, I don't want to say producing the chicken, but raising the chickens and then cleaning the chickens and then transporting them to the distribution center. And then, you know, you keep going. All these different places have labor input costs. So guess what? When the price of labor goes up, so does the cost of their products. And guess what? It's added every single step of the way from where that chicken was raised to when it lands on somebody's plate. There is a variable input cost of labor baked in to every step. So when we increase labor costs, yes, it has to indirectly increase product or service costs. Now, what the number is could be very much marginal, but again, it's much more quote unquote margin at the beginning, right? It's marginal towards the beginning of the process. But guess what? It adds up. Guess what? If it's only 10 cents a pound every single time it moves hands, you could conceivably see $1 or $2 extra per pound by the time it gets to the restaurant. Now multiply $2 a pound by however many pounds are in a case, by how many cases you use in a week. And that turns into real fucking numbers really quickly. Again, if you're not a business owner, if you don't run a business and see your input costs, your labor, raw materials, R&D, marketing, all these other things, then you have really no clue why your prices are high. And that's why you listen to the people on television, except them motherfuckers literally get paid to divide the country and fucking lie to people. That's what they get paid to do. And guess what? You're helping them. And if you want to do that, no problem. Fuck it. Whatever. But this whole fucking notion that inflation that people are feeling today is because of supply chain issues alone is utterly ridiculous on its face. We increased the money supply in 2 years by over $8 trillion. We inflated the money supply 28 fucking percent in 24 months. Literally the most in U.S. modern day fucking history. World War II, we raised it 18%. That is the second most. World War II, we fought a fucking world war. And we only increased the money supply 18% to pay for it. The Great Depression, we only increased the money supply by 10% to fight the Great Depression. The Great Recession of 2008, we only increased the money supply 10%. Between 2020 and 2021 alone, we increased the money supply by 28%. Guys, that's going to have real world consequences. But shockingly enough, nobody in fucking Washington, D.C. wants to step up and be like, you know what? That's our fault. My bad. We fucked up. We fucked that one up. Our bad. Nobody's willing to say that up there. Nobody in DC is willing to fucking take any of the blame. It's always somebody else's fault somewhere. Oh, it's this boogeyman. Oh, it's corporations. Oh, it's the supply chain. It's never, you know what? We fucked up. We increased the money supply 28%. We may have fucked up there. And this is exactly why nobody fucking trusts politicians of either party. Because nobody's willing to take the fucking blame. Step up and be a goddamn fucking adult up there. That's all people fucking ask. That's all I ask of my fucking representatives is just be fucking honest. I know that that's counterintuitive to being a politician in 2022. Fucking well aware of that. All 536 fucking imbeciles up there prove that every single fucking day. You know what? And I am just as pissed off at Donald J. Trump as I am all of them motherfuckers. Because if there was anybody that could remotely understand the business side, it would have been him. Not a bunch of lawyers and fucking bartenders and whatever else is in Congress these days. But a business person should have been able to know that and go, you know what, man, if we do this, we're going to fuck a whole lot of shit up real quick. And guess what? Papa Joe had the opportunity to come along and be like, you know what? We created $4 trillion last year. Maybe we should start raising the federal funds rate by 10 basis points. You know what I'm saying? Maybe 20 basis points, maybe 25. And we'll cut off the inflation before it's really felt on the consumer side. But no! That motherfucker was like, I'm gonna one-up Donald Trump. Fuck that. We're going to create over $4 trillion new dollars in 2021. Certainly, I'm not going to allow Donald Trump to outdo me in printing money. Fuck that. I am a part of the Democrat Party. We fucking print money like it's going out of fucking style. There's no shot we're allowing a Republican to print more money than we do. And voila, look where we're at, guys. So no, don't go fucking blaming Joe Biden. Don't go blaming just Donald Trump. Don't go blaming the supply chain. Look at everybody and say, you know what? Y'all had a plan. Y'all fucked that plan up. I don't know what y'all's plan was and how you saw this ending, but I guarantee goddamn you none of you saw this shit happening. Right now, we're supposed to think that gas is supposed to be $3.50 a fucking gallon. Now, this is probably the closest thing to where I would say that the pricing is primarily driven by private enterprise. Now, that doesn't mean that speculators don't take into account governmental policy that also drives prices up and down. Like, just think of it like this. Anytime there is an announcement of breaking ground or whatever, just a kind of real life scenarios, whenever there is the perception that we are going to increase our oil output, as in we're creating more gasoline, we're refining more oil, what happens to the price of gas? It goes down. And guess what? The price goes down without a single drop of oil being refined. Just the fucking notion that we are going to increase output drives the price of oil down, which drives the price of gas down. But as soon as there's a governmental policy or a natural disaster, i.e. a hurricane, what happens to the price of gas and oil? It goes up. So to turn around and to say that the government's policies don't have any effect on oil prices is sheer and utter fucking nonsense. It's a part of a big fucking equation. And it's this equation that we talk about in terms of whatever pricing, whether it be oil or going to a restaurant for a meal, or you're going to buy products in a store. It doesn't matter what you're talking about. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of variable inputs on just the labor side that go into the price of a product or a service. So guess what? When it costs the chicken manufacturers more, what are they going to do? They're going to raise the price of chicken. Because they're just looking to keep a fucking solid 27 to maybe 30% margin. And when the input costs on labor shoots up 18, 19%, well, the company sure as shit isn't going to eat that. And here's why. If you've made it to this part of the podcast, now I'm going to go into why. And why people who don't run businesses will never understand. And that's why they get their information from these stupid-ass people on television. When a business profits, that does not necessarily mean that the money goes into the owner's pocket. When you look at the vast majority of restaurants that are started, the vast majority of them are closed within 12 months. They didn't understand their demographics, where they're located. They didn't understand input pricing. They didn't understand the need to build enough profit in there to cover things like broken machinery, or upgrades or repairs on their buildings and things of this nature. You see, when you own a business, especially one that's brick and mortar, you know what I mean? Like there's like actual physical location. You have to constantly account for either if you own it, then at least your mortgage on it is level. But you have to take into account increases in insurance premiums on the place. You have to take into account replacing literally everything inside that building at some point. So as a business owner, when you see that a company profited 28%, right? Well, they have to use that 28% for R&D, repairs, maintenance, future. So everybody thinks that a business owner is just taking out the money. Oh, we're just going to pay this out to the shareholders. No, let me tell you something. When there's a profit, shareholders, by and large, on dividends get fucking really short-sighted. It's a nice perk, but the vast majority of people investing today are investing for growth, not dividends. Companies have queued in on this, and they've been able to keep prices relatively stable because they're able to take more of the profit and put it into a coffer to cover future input costs, repair costs, maintenance costs, expansion costs. You see, there's so much that goes into running a business. Everybody's like, oh, the CEO, he doesn't really do anything. The fuck he doesn't. Let me tell you something. If a worker inside of a building fucks up, it's whatever. When a CEO fucks up, it could damn near mean the fucking end of the company. So the decisions made at the top have far greater impacts than the decisions made at the bottom. Therefore, there's a massive discrepancy in labor costs. You know, a business is willing to spend millions of dollars a year if it means that they're putting the money into somebody that's going to make solid business decisions that's going to lead to growth. There's tremendous upside in who you hire as your CEO or your COO or your CFO, even your CMO. Huge. Like if you fuck that one up, you could literally cost all investors all of their money. The stakes at the very top of every company is much higher than the stakes at the bottom of the company or even the middle of the company. So we need to educate ourselves a little bit more from non-news sources. We need to educate ourselves from non-news sources. If you want to talk about economics, the best thing that you can do, especially in today's world, is go talk to a fucking small business owner. If you can find the owner of a small restaurant, a smaller restaurant, maybe one, two locations, ask them how they're doing. It's fucking hard, man. Right now, it's fucking hard. And sadly, a lot of those folks may even turn around and just whip, like, as just being intellectually lazy. They'll be like, oh, it's inflation. No, not necessarily. And so this is where I call everybody out. I call the left and the right out on inflation, because nobody fucking really talks about inflation in its truest form. Everybody just lumps everything to fucking together and just calls it inflation. And because people don't look these things up and know the standard definitions of these terms, what do? They just go along. Oh, that sounds right. It's like, oh, I agree with this person politically, so they're automatically right. Absolutely fucking not. If you agree with me politically, you should check everything that I say. Don't be like, oh, Chris is a credible source. No. Even you should check all your credible sources as well. You should always double check. Double checking is a great thing to do as people. We need to. So when you're looking around and you're seeing the increase in prices, some of that increase is supply chain related, and some of that increase is inflation. The good news is everything is always fixable. We could technically fix this. It's going to hurt like hell when we fix it, though. That's where a lot of politicians don't like to play. They don't like, they love the actions leading up to getting sick, but they don't like the medication that they're going to have to take. Right now, unfortunately, the United States and probably a good dose of the world needs a solid dose of Robitussin. Get that Tussin, baby. It's going to be nasty. It's going to make you make all types of faces. Guess what? We're going to dip into a slight little recession. The good news is economically speaking, the United States is technically in a good place when it comes to a lot of different metrics, right? Like the internals. Like we're pretty solid, you know what I mean? Like there's not a huge amount of variable rate interest or variable interest rate loans on mortgages. You know what I mean? Like banks aren't massively over leveraged anymore. Like the recession that we'll go into will be much nicer than in 2008. But we need to nip this fucking inflation in the bud, man. There's $8 trillion out there. We need to remove at least $5 trillion from the economy. Not the economy, but from circulation. We need to remove the excess dollars. It's all, how do you do that, Chris? You raise the federal funds rate. You know what? I see at least 50 basis points come March. And then I see at least another 25 in April. And another 25 in May. At least. Guys, we're going to raise the interest rates 2% by the end of the year. There's no getting around it. I feel like 2% is the floor that we're going to do in 2022, which is going to have a tremendous effect on the economy. But it's all short term. And that's what everybody needs to realize. When we need to correct the Fed's actions, it's going to hurt, but it is a temporary pain. It's like when you get sick. Like, yes, fucking taking that medicine sucks. It tastes like ass. Gotta do it. But it's short term, right? Like when you get sick and you start taking that Tussin, baby, you start feeling better in like a day or two. And it's almost like it's a miracle. But it doesn't take away from the fact that those 1 to 2 days absolutely sucked. Ask any man that gets sick particularly, because men are the absolute worst. Man, I tell you what, when us men get colds, it's almost like we have terminal cancer or something. Like we're barely getting out of fucking bed. We're acting like it's the end of the damn world as we know it. Couple days of taking some Tussin, boom, we're good to go. Back out the door like nothing ever happened. So economically speaking, these rate hikes are our Robitussin. Again, if you're invested in the market like me, don't be surprised when your portfolio takes a 20% hit. It's okay. Trust me, a 20% hit on your retirement portfolio right now, or your investment portfolio, unless you're actually drawing on it. So for the vast majority of us in our 30s, 40s, 50s, 20s, if you're in your 20s, this recession literally doesn't mean anything to you. If like me, if it's in your 30s, the recession doesn't mean anything to me for my investment portfolio. Doesn't mean anything. Because I know the history of the market. The market's going to rebound. You know, it's funny. I'm going to end with this. You know, Warren Buffett once famously said, never bet against the U.S. economy. I say that again. Never bet against the U.S. economy. It's the most resilient economy in the world. We might lose in terms of being the biggest one of these days to China. But in terms of resiliency, we hold that crown. Our economy is resilient as hell. And in large part, it's because there's a whole bunch of people with their own money on the line. And that's why shit comes back. You have a whole bunch of people that invest their entire lives in their business. You think they're just going to fucking roll over and die? To hell with that shit. Have you ever met a business owner that's lost everything? In the moment, their entire life ended. Imagine building a business from scratch and you put your entire life into it. And that shit goes belly up. You know how much that shit's gonna hurt? Seriously. You know how motivated that person is to get that shit back though? If there's a way to get it back, that person's going to get it back. Why? Because it's their fucking money. It's their entire life that they built. That's why you don't bet against the U.S. economy in the long term. You just don't. It's a foolish bet to take. So please, I implore all of you. First of all, I want to thank you for listening. It's truly humbling to be able to put my opinion out there on the internet and to have any people listen at all. So if you're listening, thank you so much. I just want to say, just go out and learn about the supply chain, learn about input pricing variables, because there's a ton of them out there, guys, that businesses have to account for every day. And the market is not very kind to those that miss it when they miscalculate. Miscalculations, you know, in the private sector literally means bankruptcy for most. So thank you so much for listening. I hope you got something out of it. And I can't wait to put out the next episode. And I hope you'll listen in. Have a great one.